9:35 is our time on this Tuesday, May the 26th, 2020. We start College and Pro Week this week. Today, the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joining us. Tomorrow, Matthew Derrick with Chiefs Digest. We'll talk Chiefs. Thursday, the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heaney, will join us at 9:30. And Friday, the voice of the Kansas City Royals, Ryan Lefevre, will be our guest as we'll touch base with all of them and find out how things are going and will we have sports coming up later this summer and into the fall. And right now, we are joined by the voice of the Kansas City Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, who very soon will have to either buy a kayak or boat or grab it out of the garage or house or shed or whatever the case may be, because I understand it's a little wet in your area, Wyatt.
It is a little bit wet. Fortunately for me, I kind of somewhat live a little bit up on a hill, just kind of south and east of the Manhattan Country Club. So I think I'm okay, but it is pretty soggy right now, and hopefully it'll back off a little bit later today. How are you, bud? Everything good?
Yeah, doing good. I had a chance to go out to the farm and see my parents for the first time in 6 months, so that was refreshing.
That's awesome.
And then had a chance to see my sister and her husband and my nephews for a little while. So as Dusty said, he went out and saw his parents for the first time in a while. It was refreshing and good for the soul.
Yeah, that's happening to a lot of people these days, including things like haircuts and that kind of stuff. I've been pretty fortunate. I've seen my mother a couple, two or three different times. My wife's mother, we just got to see her Saturday for the first time in probably, I'm going to say, roughly 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty tough for her, but she battled through it. And so we're all dealing with it. It's a weird time, but hopefully we're starting to get on the back end of it. And I think you're right. People are starting to talk about sports and stuff now, and that's a great thing.
Well, let's start with you and your job and your position. How big of a challenge has this been for you to keep on top of everything? Obviously, your regular routine during the off season has changed just like everybody else's.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest about it, Wade, it really hasn't been very difficult because most of the things that I do this time of year have either been postponed or canceled. Let me give you some idea of what I'm talking about there. Normally in the early springtime, March and April, spring football, nothing doing there. And that really hurt. I was so looking forward to spring ball this year on so many levels as we start year two of Coach Kleiman's reign at Kansas State. Secondarily, the Catbacker Tour, which usually starts around the 15th to 20th of May and runs through, you know, a pretty good little chunk of June. Nothing there. I was going to go to North Carolina for a national seminar in July. Nothing there. Same with Big 12 Media Days. It will be virtual now. So that's maybe more than you want to know, but it gives you an idea that a lot of the stuff that I do this time of the year, we're doing it, either not doing it or doing things differently to make up for it. You know, no baseball this spring at K-State, of course. And I've been out of that for a little while, but also no track and field. We were supposed to host Big 12 indoor or outdoor this spring. That didn't happen. So it's been a really odd time. And yet we've tried to give K-State fans a little bit of taste of things. I did a special Chris Kleiman spring radio show. Stan and I have done a bunch of podcasts and those kind of things, kind of previewing the fall football season position by position. So you kind of do what you can, but in some cases there's not a lot you can do.
The voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Well, I guess the biggest question of them all for football fans right now is, will college football be back this season? And if so, in what form? Athletic Director Gene Taylor came out with his statement. Others talking about June 15th for activities to begin and players could be at facilities, so forth and so on. What is your feel about all this? And I know you don't have the answer. I don't think anybody has the answer, because we've never really dealt with something quite like this ever. But what are your feelings right now? Are you optimistic that we'll have college football back in on time? And then if so, and in what form?
Well, I am optimistic that we will have football this fall. On time is still a little bit up in the air, but as these days continue to mount, I'm thinking more and more, just based on what I hear not only about K-State, but you know, the Big 12, that these universities and programs are committed to playing in the fall and playing on time, but doing it as carefully and productively as possible with, you know, shielding, if you will, if that's even the right word, protecting these athletes. And I you mentioned Gene Taylor, and I appreciate that because in visiting with him, Commissioner Bowlesby, many others around the league, including my counterparts, a lot of meetings have been held, a lot of discussions have been held about what's the right way to go about this, how do we do it, many, many different plans, levels of plans. I can't even imagine, like what it's been like for those types of people compared to what I described of what my last couple of months has been like, or 2.5 months now, because it's totally different and probably in some ways even more busy than normal for those types of folks. I do think we'll have football, and I think we'll have it on time. Will that be the case for everybody around the country? Probably not. But I think people want it back. I think we're going to try to do what we can to make that happen.
What do you think from a fan's perspective? Do you think we're going to have limited fans? Do you think it'll be full bore like, we can fill the stadium, we'll fill the stadium? Do you think it'll be no fans initially? It does seem to me that that could be a different situation for different universities across the country as well.
Well, I agree with that thought, and I have mixed feelings about it, Wade. I'm not going to kid you. I'm like everybody else, I guess. I try to pay attention and watch the news and those types of things. And I mean, you've seen the video of some of the gatherings over the long Memorial Day weekend, and the lack of social distancing and things like that. And we'll see where we're at, a couple of weeks or a month down the road, whether that comes back to bite us or not. But I would like to think that we can have some fans. Will it be 50,000 capacity? Maybe not. But I'm not ruling it out yet either, because I do think if you, especially in Kansas, you heard the term so many times in the last 2.5 months, the flattening the curve. I mean, that's been done in Kansas in a big way. And I think there's a possibility you could have maybe 15 or 20 or 30,000 people. I don't know that. That's just speculation on my part. But I would think that there will be some fans. Is there still a possibility of none? Yeah, but I think it's getting smaller as we go forward.
I know that's a tough question as well, but I asked Dusty about this just a moment ago, and I'll share his answer once I get your answer, and that is, I think down in SEC country, if Alabama has a football game tomorrow, I think the place is packed. I think if they start on time, it's going to be packed. But here in the Midwest, I think it might be a little bit different. And that's not a knock on University of Kansas or Kansas State University or anybody here in the Midwest. I think Michigan and Ohio State will probably be close to capacity, if not full, with 80 to 110,000 people. Very possible. I believe that. We're not as big of a population, obviously, in the state of Kansas. But at the same time, there is maybe not as many sports events to go to college-wise. So maybe this place will be packed. But if K-State doesn't have any limits on how many fans can come, except for, of course, the capacity of Bill Snyder Family Stadium, do you think on opening night or opening day that the place will be full? Or do you think that even though you can say, hey, let's sell this baby out, that there still be maybe 10, 15, 20,000 seats available because of people and the way they feel here in the Midwest, a little bit more cautious?
Well, I think cautious might be one topic there. Mm-hmm. Another might be the financial impact of this. And I don't think any of us know what that is, Wade, to be honest with you. I think common sense would say that whether you're Kansas State or Ohio State or Kansas or Kentucky or whoever, we're going to see some people not come back for a while. Are they done forever? I would think not. But I do think because of the financial impact of this, there will be impact, but we don't know. I really don't think we do. We're very blessed with a passionate fan base here. You're right. We don't have the same types of numbers in Kansas that other states have, and yet we see, like in our case, a pretty rabid fan base for football, and they like to be at the games, they like to tailgate. I'm hoping and praying that happens this season, because I like to think that they're ready for it and they need it. It's part of their fabric, it's part of their culture, and I think, whether it's K-State football, KU basketball, whatever you want to talk about, everybody wants that back. and put me on the list. I'm with them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you too. The voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. You mentioned a financial part, and I'm glad you brought that up. And that is the question I have for you: is the financial impact on the universities? We've seen the highest paid employees, obviously coaches for the most part, both at Kansas and Kansas State, take pay cuts in the range of 5 to 10 to maybe even almost 15%. To save money. We have seen East Carolina, one of the recent ones that cut women's and men's tennis, women's and men's swimming and diving. That is not a Power Five school or university per se, but still we feel the impact there. I did see something the other day, whether or not it's accurate, I do not know, but they said that of the Power Five schools, we're talking, of course, the five power conferences, including the Big 12 and Kansas State, that 41% of those universities, if there was no sports for one season, one full year, that would take us basically from, you know, this fall all the way through through basketball season, I would imagine is what they're meaning, that only 41% have the financial reserves to deal with the financial loss, which is alarming because that means 59% don't. What is the financial impact on the university that you know of right now? And then talk about the challenges. I know you're not an administrator at Kansas State, but you're in the know. You talk to people. The challenges that they're facing right now in regards to because you mentioned it. I mean, so you might have to have ticket prices that are cheaper to get the place full if you're allowing it to be full. But at the same time, you got bills to pay and everything else.
Well, let's look at this. I think this is another very good subject, but I think we need to look at a broader scope first, meaning you asked about the financial impact of this on K-State and not K-State athletics.
Right.
And you may have meant athletics, but you said K-State. And I think as a university, from the numbers that I've heard and what has been talked about and written about, this is about a $35 million deal. You know, I don't know how many universities could take that for very long, regardless of who they are and what they are. I think because of this pandemic, we are going to see change. I think you are going to see programs from the Power Five all the way down lose some programs, right or wrong. And I think there will, you know, I know there are Title IX rules, but this kind of is a game changer that way. It may be allowed because, I mean, right or wrong, don't hold this against me. But I wonder if we have several wrestling programs across the country just say, nope, not now. Mm-hmm. We may bring it back later, but not for a year or two or three or four or five. I don't know that. That's total speculation on my part. But this has a major financial implication all the way across the board. I do think that we will have students on campus this fall. But much like what we said about, you know, the capacity of the stadium how many will be there, I think you can ask the same thing about the number of students that will be enrolled this fall.
Yep.
I just, right or wrong, I think that's the case. This is going to be okay someday. We'll be back to, I don't know that I necessarily like the, quote, new normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also respect it and think that there's going to be change through this, but it's obvious. But I do think that, you know, this too shall pass, and someday we'll be back to whatever you want to call the new normal, I guess.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, you made a good point there, or alluded to it or inferred it, and that is we're talking about butts in the seats at stadiums and about those that are going to attend games, and that certainly would be a big financial loss if you couldn't have fans there. The NFL's Major League Baseball, they've talked about how much money they lose if they didn't have fans in the stands. But you're right, and you're right in regards to tuition. You know, if you don't have as many students on campus not paying tuition, that's a big financial hit to the universities as well. If you don't have as many students, then what are you going to have to do with teachers and professors, and do you lay people off from that standpoint? It's those are decisions that are very difficult, and I certainly do not want to be in those people's shoes. So it's a trickle-down effect that affects everybody at the university level and, of course, across the country, no matter where you are.
Yeah. It's going to have and is having a major impact. But I guess trying to get, you know, this thing turned back to, you know, a positive thing, I do think they're making progress, and I do think that there are a lot of people committed to let's play football this fall, do it as safely as we can. You know, it's gone, for me at least, in the last 30, 45 days or so, from, oh boy, if we have a case, we're in trouble, mm-hmm. to, well, now if there's a case, we isolate everybody. You know, you got to, at some point, I don't want to offend anybody by saying this, but at some point you do kind of have to, you know, chug through this and continue to evolve and move forward. And I think that's what they're trying to do, right or wrong.
No, I agree with you there wholeheartedly. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. All right, so let's assume that we're going to have football this year. What's the outlook for this K-State football team? I mean, Skylar Thompson will be back. You know, and when you don't have maybe as much time on the field during the summer or spring, it's really, we've heard about the Chiefs, that continuity, 20 of their 22 starters back, that could give them a big advantage. K-State's going to have a lot of new faces in the offensive line, but it does help that you're going to have an experienced quarterback coming back.
Well, especially a guy with, like you say, that kind of experience, a fifth-year senior guy, and a guy that's been a pretty darn good player. His numbers aren't eye-popping, but I think if you listen to what the coaches say, whether it's position coach Colin Klein or Courtney Messingham, our offensive coordinator, or Coach Kleiman, they all believe that Skylar Thompson's a really good player and a winner and a leader. So I think you start with that. I think you touched on it, too. The big question of, if we have football this fall for K-State, is the offensive line, because they basically have to replace five starters there. But I really like the makeup of the team right now. There's a really large influx of really talented young players in the program, whether it's somebody like a Khalid Duke or a Wyatt Hubert, those types of guys, or whether you go even younger than that and maybe it's offensive lineman Cooper Beebe or somebody like that, Will Jones in the secondary. There are kids that are going to be afforded a chance this time, and I'm anxious to see how they respond. I think Coach Kleiman's done a really good, and his staff have done a good job of recruiting and getting quality young people in here. And I do think that if you believe in all of the ratings and all of that kind of stuff, the recruiting has certainly been better, and I think we're going to see that impact the program, not only this fall, but in subsequent years moving forward.
What about the weapons for Skylar this year? Because certainly, you know how this is. Maybe not every fan understands it, but the quarterback gets way too much credit when things go well, get too much static when things go poorly. It's usually a combination, you know. Well, he doesn't have any weapons to throw to. That's why he struggled. Whoa, no, wait a minute. He missed some wide open guys, blah, blah, blah. He takes his eyes off the field and runs too soon, doesn't keep his vision downfield, which I think is a fair criticism at times for Skylar. But all in all, how do you think this K-State offense is going to shake out in regards to the weapons they'll have on the team this year?
That's a really good question, because I think you could look at that and maybe go either way, mm-hmm. meaning the following. One, K-State lost their two most productive running backs, and yet, I've got a list in front of me here. Think about this. Harry Trotter, Joe Irvin, Jacardi A. Wright, Tyler Burns. There's four guys right there that saw the field last year.
Yeah.
And then you've got Thomas Grayson and C.J. Price on top of that, and then freshmen coming in. And who knows whether one of those guys could get a shot. In terms of the receivers, Malik Knowles is back. Chebaston Taylor's back. Wykeen Gill, Joshua Youngblood, Phillip Brooks. That's a pretty good grouping of guys.
Yeah.
So I do think that they have, you know, some options. I think it's going to be, again, going back to what we said before, that offensive line, I don't know that they have to be, you know, better than last year or dominant or anything like that, but they've got to be consistent enough to give Skylar some time and be able to run the football some. If they do that, I think this could be a pretty intriguing offense. And I think defensively they've got a chance to be pretty solid, even though they've got some holes to fill. There's no doubt about that.
Well, on the defensive side, that's where I was going next. Where would you consider the strength, and where do you consider the biggest point of emphasis or concern?
Well, the biggest concern for me is probably on the defensive front, and here's why. I mean, this is pretty significant loss with Reggie Walker and with those two tackles. Jordan Mitty and Trey Deshaun, really, really good, solid, quality football players who I think were undervalued, and most of the time if you play with your hand in the dirt, as the coaches like to say, that's probably the case. But the experience and the toughness of those guys and the technical soundness, if you will, that will be missed. With that said, I think they've got some new kids that I think will make their way and do all right. I like the linebackers. I think having Justin Hughes back will be huge. Elijah Sullivan last year, I think, clearly exceeded expectations. Daniel Green's going to be a good player. And then the secondary is probably where I'm the most excited, just because you've got Walter Neal back, you've got A.J. Parker back, you've got Jerron McPherson back, on and on and on, and then a whole bunch of really talented young kids. I mentioned Will Jones a moment ago. The coaches really love this guy, and I think there are several guys in that area that will probably get some playing time before it's all said and done.
All right, let's shift to basketball for a moment. The men's basketball team, its recruiting class, highly rated. We had Coach Weber on, I would say maybe about a month ago on the show. He said, I was surprised a little bit. He flat out said, and he's probably said it to you too, but he said it on our interview, that he says he thinks this may be the best. I think he actually said it was the best recruiting class he has on paper. That's saying a lot, isn't it?
Well, it is when you think about that Dean Wade, Barry Brown, Kamau Stokes grouping. And I think he says that based on the potential of the group, and that's an obvious statement. I understand that. But also in numbers. And I jokingly say in other interviews to K-State fans, bring your program, because there will be 8 new faces on this team. But I think it's a really good mix of ability, different body types, different strengths, and I think the mixing and matching is going to be so much fun for me to watch, especially early in the season. They've got some size, they've got some depth. When you boil all the water out of it, Wade, I think it comes down to this. This is going to be a young and inexperienced but talented team. I think you will see this be a team, frankly, it's going to be easier to score for these guys than it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's a little better, maybe that makes up for maybe not being at least out of the gate quite as good defensively. But, hey, it's Bruce Weber's team. You know they'll guard some. If they're somewhat better offensively, I think they can make a pretty good jump. And I hope that's the case.
I do, too. That'd be exciting to watch, no doubt. All right, time for the off-the-wall questions. I've got multiple ones because I haven't talked to you in a while, and I have to do these because what we've been doing the last month or so is playing portions of some of our rebroadcasts, of some of their comebacks of high school broadcast, or we're going to do the classics coming up next month. People ask me all the time, how do you feel in your sports talk show? How do you come up with stuff to talk about? I'm like, well, we just find a way, okay? We just find a way. So here we go. I've got 3 off-the-wall questions for you, Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. I was going through and cleaning yesterday. My wife and I had part of Memorial Day. My kids are somewhere else, so her and I decided to celebrate by organizing the house. How awesome is that? And so anyway, I was looking through some boxes, and I found a box with a ton of my old broadcast on audio cassette and on CD. And I don't recall if this was my first broadcast, but I have the cassette. I'm holding it right now in front of me. Inman Boys against Berean Academy from March 10th of 1995. And I know that was the first time I called games, was in the fall of 94 or early 95 when I was an intern at McPherson when I was going to Bethany College. So that was a ways back. That leads me to the first question. You know where I'm going now. Well, you remember your first play-by-play broadcast, and if so, can you describe how that went and who was playing? Or maybe you don't remember the exact first one, but one of the early ones.
Well, I wouldn't probably remember the two teams playing the first one, mm-hmm. but you want to talk about dating yourself? My first broadcast was before FM really was doing a lot of games or any games.
Uh-huh.
So mine was the area game of the week on cassette tape.
Okay.
So, yeah, I have several of those cassettes still from what I'll describe as the mid to late 70s. how good was it? Not great. That's why I always say in a lot of these interviews that I'm so appreciative and always will be of my dear friend, the late, great Kay Melia, for giving me a chance, because I don't know what I'd be doing now if it weren't for him. And I hopefully, knock on wood, got a little better over the course of time. You'd have to be.
Well, I joked with Dusty. I said, you know, it'd be really fun is towards the end of these classics we play in June is then we play just like a snippet of our first broadcast and that we ever did. And Dusty goes, no, we don't need to do that. And I said, well, we might. I'll decide based on how bad I think mine sounds. How's that? That sound fair? Yeah. Oh, man. So when you got that first, were you super excited to do it? Were you kind of forced into doing it because they were short people? I mean, how did it come about for you to do your first game?
No, I was super excited and was just afforded the opportunity right out of school to hit the ground running at a radio television combo there. And the best part for me was that it was such a great training ground that I didn't just learn sports. I learned news and production and all of, you know, being a, I was horrible at it, but I've been learning how to be a disc jockey and all of those kind of things. Not that I shouldn't say I was horrible at it. It wasn't my strength. Mm-hmm. Let's say that. But no, I just kind of hit the ground running. And, I'll never forget the first paycheck I got. I thought to myself, they're actually paying me to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the greatest thing ever.
Uh-huh.
That really wears off after a short period of time. You can't even afford tires or gas.
Yes, yes. Once you get the bills, you understand it's not that much, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, so that gives me an extra question real quick. You were a DJ at one point. Did you have a DJ handle or nickname?
You know, I didn't, but with the name, it's a lot more of a common name now, but with the name Wyatt, we'd get a lot of calls at the station in those days, what's his real name? Because they thought I'd made it up. And I even had one guy say, you need to have a radio name. Don't use your, nobody uses their real name.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm breaking the trend there. I'm using my real name.
Yeah.
right or wrong, that's what I did.
Yeah. Mine was Wade Allen because my middle name's Allen. I did that when I did my internship. But then once I went to school and college and did some stuff on TV, I just went with my full name.
Right.
I was cool with it. Play-by-play filler. You've probably seen all this stuff from guys that do play-by-play now of, you know, pig races, dogs running around in the backyard on social media. What are you doing to keep yourself sharp for that first game? Are you, like, watching UFC bouts and doing play-by-play and screaming at the television, watching the golf charity match and calling it real quiet because Tiger Woods is approaching the hole? Or Korean baseball, are you watching that and doing play-by-play? What are you doing to keep yourself sharp so that you're ready to go, Wyatt Thompson?
Well, this will probably not shock you. I haven't done a whole lot. and maybe that says something about me, but I haven't watched 1 second of Korean baseball, but I can't wait until the show comes back because you know how big a baseball fan I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, I got the, and not, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but I thought the golf thing this weekend was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it, and I'm a really big hack, can't play dead, all of that kind of stuff. I thought it was amazing that people were ripping on Tom Brady so bad. Really? He wasn't that bad.
Right.
He's playing with those three, and Peyton Manning's pretty good. This just
right,
in.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
But I loved it. It was so different. It was so needed. Kudos to the TV people for pulling that off and the $20 million raise. That was great.
Yeah, and for those two NFL players put themselves out there as
oh,
well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be televised at all when I'm hitting a golf ball, I guarantee you that. I'd miss it by 2 feet at least. Okay, final one. How long have you gone without a haircut, or how long do you think you could go without a haircut?
Well, I actually got a haircut a week ago Monday.
Okay.
And I had been roughly, I'm going to say, in the vicinity of 70 days.
Okay.
The people that know that I don't have a whole heck of a lot of hair in some spots. But my hair was so wavy in the back. When I sat in the chair, Tina, who cuts my hair, and she's awesome, she ran her fingers through the back of my hair, and she goes, you actually have wavy hair. and I said to her, do you realize how good that sounds?
Yes.
And how long it's been since somebody has said that to me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But with that said, it got so bad on the sides that I kind of hacked some of it off before I saw her.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Yeah.
Do you normally get a haircut every couple of months? Do you get a haircut every 2 months? Do you have a ritual every 6 weeks? What are you comfortable with?
I'm usually about every month.
Really?
Maybe 5 weeks. But if I go much longer than that, it's not good.
Yeah, yeah. I usually go every couple months, and then I haven't had one since January, and now my hair is peeling up and over the top of my ears, and now I'm starting to see a little bit more gray. There's a little bit more gray. Like, I like it that I have more hair because I can say, hey, I'm growing more hair. I'm not bald, and I can't see the back. Like, the back's curly at the very back, which is cool, but then I'm like, okay, so if I've got more hair, that's covering up that little, you know, open spot in the back of my head, right? I'm guessing not, but I'm hoping, but I'm not going to look because I don't want to really truly know. And so I'm almost to the point where I want to trim that hair right above my ear. I'm kind of with you there, but I'm supposed to get a haircut tomorrow, so I'm trying to hold out.
Yeah, well, after I got the haircut, I can't tell you how happy I was. it was refreshing to be able to get a haircut and kind of feel normal again. I work with a guy who gets a haircut, literally, I'm serious, every 2 weeks, every other Friday, basically, and it's like, he went 60 some days, and he got his cut. I guess I'll describe it as kind of under the table, meaning a friend of a friend in some garage somewhere. It's like, wow, that's pretty top secret stuff, dude. You got to do what you got to do, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. No doubt about it. Man, it is refreshing to hear your voice again, my friend, because we certainly would love to be hearing you know, the spring games and, of course, all the stuff that has been canceled that you normally be doing throughout the summer. Sure. But we can only hope that we'll get back to a sense of normal again, and we can hear your voice on the radio calling the games. And I appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and I'm sure we'll be talking again when we get closer to when we hope football season will begin.
Well, you're very kind. I do appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. I always love being on with you, and I always look forward to those last two or three questions. Those are the good ones. I remember those for whatever reason. I like it. Well, thanks for that.
I appreciate that. Wyatt, stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir, bud. You too. Thanks.
That's Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Coming up tomorrow, Matthew Derrick will talk Chiefs from Chiefs Digest. Thursday, the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Friday, the voice of the Royals, Ryan Lefevre.